Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us this evening, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. As we begin the show tonight, we just want to say thank you for joining us. This is a place where God's word is exalted. Amen. We're going to start off today. We're going to open with prayer. And as we open with prayer, we will follow up with a song by Yolanda Adams. God, we come before you asking a special blessing this evening, asking that you would walk with us and talk with us and empower us to hear your word, hear from you tonight. And as we listen to you, oh God, that you would continue to lead, guide, and direct us. And as we go according to your word and your power, we just ask that you strengthen us tonight, that you give us the word and that we can clearly hold on to it and understand it. We will be studying the book of Revelations tonight. And as we study, we will be looking at a couple of new churches. We'll those often kind of remind us of Pergamon, and I think tonight we'll look at the Church of Laodicea. So with that in mind, we just ask, oh God, that you continue to direct our path. You said to have us call upon the name of the Lord, and Lord, that's what we're doing. We're not just doing that, but we are tiptoeing into the third heaven, praising you along with the 24 elders, thanking you for being our God and allowing us to be your children. We thank you, O God, as we go into this study, trusting that you will give us all that we stand in need of. We ask these blessings in the matchless name of Jesus. We say amen and amen.
I open my heart.
I'll read Revelation, the second chapter, starting with the first verse through the 27th.
Margaret, are you there? To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Yet you hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. So also you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. To the church in Thyatira, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words from the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith, and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The word
Amen.
Of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen and amen. It's that time in the study where we do our intercessory prayer. So just had any questions, if there is anyone in the radio audience or is there anyone in the studio who has a prayer request, if you would like to participate in the study tonight, feel free to call in at 646-478-4932. But to those of you who are here in the studio, if you would like to offer a prayer, a praise report, or prayer request, please feel free to do so at this time. I wanted to also ask you as well, Margaret, I apologize if I didn't extend out to you the any kinds of prayer requests or praise reports for your family as well, or anything that you might want to lift up.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Susie. I would like to praise the Lord for my grandson Alex recovering from his illness and for everyone being well so far as I'm aware at this time. And also praises for my father-in-law who has not had to go through the surgery to remove cancer from his face, but is getting the radiation treatments instead. And he's tolerating it quite well. So I praise God that he Amen. Changed his mind about the treatment regimen. And I praise God for all his blessings. I'm so grateful today and thankful. And I lift up the homeless people in Brooksville because they're really cracking down on homeless people here in Florida. And we're seeing it that they arrest people who are sleeping on the streets who are homeless. And
so what do they do with them when they arrest them? They take them to jail?
There was just a story on the news about a homeless man who was picked up sleeping on a cardboard box with a plastic bag under his head, and they put him in the back of the paddy wagon. There was no seat belts, and he was thrown down while they were driving around a corner, I suppose, and he became paralyzed. He was injured.
Oh, no.
Today, when we were feeding at the park, there's a sign that by the sheriff, you can be arrested at any time.
So by you all helping, you can be arrested, Miss Margaret?
I'm not sure. It may be possible. I mean, we've seen police walk in, but we just come early and we feed them and then we leave.
We really need to be praying. Yes, we need to be prayerful.
Yes.
You know, you all are doing such a good deed to make sure that people have food to eat. We're just asking for your covering as well.
Thank you.
And have you heard anything from our friend
Laura?
We miss? Yeah, Laura.
I just spoke to her before I came online, and she said she was going to come on. Do you see her there?
But she's doing well? No,
she
I don't see her yet. She'll probably come on later, but
yeah.
I just wanted to make sure she was doing well.
I wanted to lift up
Dr. Jackson. I don't know how he's doing. I have not heard from him in some time. so we might add him to the prayer list as well. And how's remember, Laura, that there's some concerns. Have you heard any news? Is her family doing well?
I haven't heard from her. I haven't spoken to her in detail today, but
let's lift up her family anyway, and you know, she can give us a report if we have time or if she wants to. Also, let's lift up Dr. Jackson. I have not heard. I heard that Bishop Michael was preparing to go over to Africa to do ministry, so I don't know when that's going to occur, but we could lift that up.
Yeah.
And also heard from another minister that Ghana is in crisis now, so... we could lift them up as well.
Is it a humanitarian crisis? Oh, in Haiti, of course.
What's that? Oh, Haiti's still struggling with
food and stuff now. And many Americans are trapped there trying to leave and unable to escape.
So what's going on there? What do you mean?
Well, there was a military coup, I think it was last year, and now the gangs have taken over, and they have kind of, the president was out of the country, but the gangs have taken over the airport, so no one can leave. The leader cannot return, and it's a state of general chaos, and they are reporting that people are not... They're in pre-famine state at this time.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
No. Oh, no. So we definitely need to lift them up for sure. Thank you for bringing that up as well. I don't have any other, somebody who joined us. This is Laura. Hey, Laura.
Hi.
We were just talking about Haiti and Ghana. Do you have any other places that you know we need to lift up, Laura?
No. If you are Haiti and Ukraine.
Yes.
Okay, let's add Ukraine.
Gaza and Israel.
Amen. Amen. Laura, did you have any prayer requests? I was just asking Margaret how the family was doing.
No, I have my can you hear
uncle?
Me?
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
My uncle, I had talked to him. They just celebrate his 89th birthday, and they showed some pictures, and I talked to him. And he said he had two more treatments of radiation, but they are doing good. He asked us to continue to pray for him because it seemed like it's affecting his memory.
Okay. Yes.
But he still having faith in God, that God is able
Amen.
To do.
Amen. 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 So,
Dr.
I have...
I was just going to say, what about you?
I was going next.
Okay.
I have a prayer request, and my prayer request, I wanted to share that I applied for a new job that's remote, and I'm just asking for a prayer. That would be so helpful to me if I were able to secure that. I'm asking for prayer for that. And asking that if it's in God's will, because you never want anything that's not in God's will, because then it's a headache waiting to happen. So I did apply, asking for prayer and God's favor, if it's to be. Also, I just want to tell you, I have felt so blessed in the midst of the challenges that I have faced. I just want to thank God for the people that I have been working with the last 3 years. I love my palliative care coordinator. I'm doing a training for moral injury and spirituality, and I'm so excited about doing it. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to catch up with Margaret sometime soon because I'm excited and wanted to share that with her as well.
Oh, yeah.
And just praise reports because we've had veterans that are on the brink of a relationship with God and have not made the decision of which way to go, and just asking for prayers for them that they can hear clearly. You know, last week I preached a sermon, Are You Listening? And the issue is that God is always speaking. We just got to get on the right frequency so we hear clearly.
Are we listening?
And so asking that, you know, that we can get what it is that God has for us, because we are on our way to Easter. We're on our way to Resurrection Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I've asked that we all shed the things that we need to leave behind, and we pick up what we need to move forward and be productive in our spiritual lives. So just reminding people, we have another week left, and then we'll be in Holy Week. So it has come quickly. It's come quickly. And so I don't know how you guys are faring with weather. Is everybody okay? I know we've had a lot of tornadic activity, so we ask for blessings for those who have been struggling with weather. Have you all heard, is everybody okay? There was some bad weather in Kentucky and some tornado activity there. But other than that.
No lives was destroyed.
No lives.
What was?
No lives was destroyed.
Good.
Amen. Amen. And that was in the Kentucky area, Miss Laura?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Amen for that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, I did talk about my job. I wanted to lift up my son's project, my son Jamie's project. He is doing sculpting with metal, and he has to do a project that's major, and it's too costly now, so he's got to start over on some things because it just costs too much, and he can't replicate it because of the price. So that's his dilemma, asking prayer for my daughter who works very hard and she's tired. My son's birthday's coming up April 14th, and we are just so celebratory because he will be, he's the oldest of my children. He'll be in his 30s. So
wow.
I'm just so grateful.
Praise God.
Can you believe it? You get to a point, you're going, ooh, I got a 30-year-old child.
Yeah.
It only takes a minute and you blink and you go, ooh, have mercy.
Yeah.
So I'm praying for him and those who will spend Easter or Resurrection Sunday alone. I'll be at home cooking for myself. And I'm okay with that. I just want to rest after I get through preaching because I know I'm going to be tired. So I'm just trusting God, you guys. And I'm at a place in my journey where I've been exposed to so much that I'm just grateful. I am so grateful that each day is a blessing. praying for my family, my extended family. They will be doing a family reunion this year, and many of them I haven't connected with or know, but won't be able to join them or be a part of that, I don't think, at this time. So let me go to the Lord in prayer and with these special things that God has blessed us with. Oh, mighty and righteous one, we so love you. And as we, in obedience, call upon your name, we just ask, oh God, that you would take our hands and walk us into the third heaven, where we will join in the throne room and we can have audience with you. As we come before you, O God, we are just in awe of the splendor and the majesty. Our prophetic imaginations can only guess and wonder if the galaxy and the stars are that brilliant, Lord, what the throne room must look like. And then, Lord, as we enter in, we know about the 24 elders and their thrones and the crowns that they have, and they are prostrate, praising you, thanking you, worshiping you, as are the beasts with eyes. And we see in front of the throne itself the crystal sea and the emerald rainbow around the throne itself. Oh, mighty one, ruler of heaven's army, we come before you this day asking that you would lead, guide, and direct us in this study. Lord, you who was and is and always will be, please, we come before you requesting that you would enlighten us to have the knowledge that you desire for us to grow in. We ask tonight, as Margaret and I and Miss Laura are talking about revelation, that you would empower us to get what you have for us tonight, and that we would be able to share so that others listening would also get the understanding. We ask these blessings tonight as we are trusting you for everything that you give. In the matchless name of Jesus, you said, O God, for those who have ear to hear, let them hear. Amen.
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 So, as we go into the study tonight, we are so celebratory of all the wonderful things that we've lifted up and that God has done. Asking, as we have looked at the book of Revelation, and we looked last week at Smyrna and Pergamum, and we have some thoughts tonight, because we're going to add another church, and that church is going to be Thyatira, or Thyatira, how you pronounce it. Some say Thyatira, actually, as I'm looking at the way it's phonetically spelled, Thyatira. So, but just some background, Thyatira is a city about 55 miles north of Smyrna, called Izmir in Turkey. And they say it lay on the road between Pergamum and Sardis in Lydia. And they said it was founded as a Hellenistic city and was well developed. It was an industrial and commercial city. And in Acts 16:14-15, Paul's first convert, remember, at Philippi was Lydia. And Lydia was the woman who was a seller of purple goods. Remember her?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she's a worshiper of God. She was a worshiper of God. And it meant probably that she had come into contact with the community of Jews in Thyatira. So I thought that was pretty interesting that there was a significant, by the first century, a significant Christian community there.
And that's why Paul mentions it in the fourth and the longest of the seven letters of Revelation. So if you would like, we can read that if you all are interested. It is Revelations 2, and Margaret picked up part of that, 18 through 29. 2:18 through 29. You mentioned that earlier.
Yes. You want to read Revelation 2, 8 through 17.
I did.
No, 18 through 29.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And did you have a different version that you could read as well?
Well, I had the NIV.
I didn't know if you were on your phone.
Can you hear me? Uh-oh. Oh, good, good. Okay. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her work. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, you have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan. To you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my words until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
So what jumps out at you guys when you hear that?
Well, one thing was, I'm trying to find it now where it was, but where it speaks about the coming of the Lord. It's the first time we see that in this book.
It's interesting, while you're looking for that, Margaret, that when they talked about in Thyatira,
mm-hmm.
that city, as I was just talking about Lydia, was famous for its purple dye.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting when you were talking about the deep things of Satan.
Yeah.
The historians say that they contended that the inner life might be so fully satisfying to God and man that the outer conduct didn't matter. So that was the teaching that was associated with the woman who had set up to be the prophetess and was given that condemning name of Jezebel. So that suggestion of an inner life that made conduct irrelevant provided a perfect escape from moral responsibility. So, and we already know that we're in a Roman area, Roman city.
Yes.
As were all of those, and those cities that had been strong in the areas of worship of the emperor and worship of those deities. You know, as we look at the ones that you were talking about, we remember last week we realized that the whole area was full of temples to God, to the Greek gods.
Yes.
So it's interesting that I just started thinking about how the comparison, the contrast was of the Son of God set over against and above the emperor, who as the incarnate Apollo was the son of Zeus. Isn't that interesting? So they connect the emperor worship with the Greek gods as well. So there was a lot of syncretism. You know what I mean? If they wanted to worship the emperor, then for the emperor to be viewed as a god, they connected him with one of the Greek gods. And Zeus was the biggest one, the baddest one, the leader. And so he comes in as Apollo, Zeus's son. So that's amazing how they are able, how humans can twist and set things up so that they can be worshipped. Ooh, that's deep, y'all.
Yeah.
But do we find that odd? I mean, look around. Do we have people who are trying to be worshipped today? I'm talking about humans.
Yeah.
We have human beings today that will do things, and they think they can get away with it because they're, what's the word? Well, you can't touch that. What's the word? Where they are untouchable,
supreme or above the law.
Yeah. Oh, and so that's the same thing that was happening with these emperors. They had become like God and worshipped. So I thought that was interesting that we still have something like that going on today where people will do things and others will worship them, knowing that they have done wrong and it won't matter. So we learned that it was easy to be a success in Pergamum if your mind became the home of a hospitality which made no critical distinction and your life included practices which morally didn't belong together. You know, they did a lot of syncretism, blending of trying to blend Christianity with other religions. So Hinduism was a part of those who were following the teachings of Balaam. So everything was all mixed. So you had all these different people doing their own worship, acting their own way, to the point that you were reading, Margaret, about the central citadel in which each personality, where God completely cleansed the person's life. So the stone that he gave him was a white stone. right? You remember the white stone with the new name that was written on it?
Yes.
Which no one would know except the one that received it?
Yes.
That person was a new creature.
Praise God.
And prized by God. I thought that was special. So when we look at what the struggle is, we're looking at Max Lucado, and Max is saying to us, he focuses on verse 26 and 27, and he talks about standing for the truth. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end. Come on, somebody. I will give authority over the nations just as I have received authority from my Father. Can I take just a side step, y'all? Just permit me, just for 1 second. When he said that, when he was talking about this, when he said, to the one who's victorious and does my will to the end, where my head went, Miss Laura, my head immediately went to Peter. You know, here we are, you know, on the road to Resurrection Sunday. And Peter had proclaimed his undying love and commitment that he was going to be with Jesus no matter what, and that he was going to do what none of the other disciples could do. And then Jesus says to Peter, what does he say?
You will betray me before the cock crows three times?
Three times. Woo! And y'all, I done heard that so many, many times. But guess what? I got a new revelation. Take, for example, Peter, after the resurrection, and Jesus is on the bank, and he's there, and he says, cast the net over to the left if you want to get a catch. And they get the catch, and they bring it in, and guess who recognizes him first? It was John. John said, it's the Lord. Yeah. And then Peter, you know, impulsive, jumping out, wanting to be the first one to get to him, straps on his clothes, jumps in the water, swims over there to him. And can you imagine when he says, I've got some fish, but bring some that you have and lay them on the coals. And then Jesus asked him in front of everybody, Peter, do you love me? Ooh. Y'all, can you think just for a moment how we profess to love the Lord?
Amen.
How we profess to be obedient to his word and to do what God asks us to do. Come on, y'all. Come on with me just for a minute.
Yeah.
Go in your secret place and see God asking you, Miss Laura, Miss Margaret, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? And we got to stand there and remember that we failed so many times, over and over and over. And I start thinking about that, y'all. Ooh, I could see why Peter would hold his head down. I would have had tears streaming down my eyes.
Mm.
Lord, 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 Lord. I'm so sorry I was so weak. Lord, 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 I'm sorry I ran. Lord, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I didn't acknowledge you when she said, weren't you with them? Lord, forgive me. Oh, I'm so embarrassed, so shamed, so hurt that I had no gall. I had no strength. I couldn't fight. I'm traumatized because of my failure.
Mm. Amen.
And when he asks us, do you love me? And all Peter could say was, he couldn't say, Lord, I agape you. all he could say is, Lord, I phileo you. I'm your friend. You know, he said, you know everything. So Peter had learned his lesson. But do we, when we're looking at the realities of where God's trying to take us about this growth place, do we get it? Do we really fully understand that he's asking us to stand for the truth, to the one who's victorious and does my will to the end? Come on, y'all. Can we do it?
Amen.
To the end? Peter wanted to.
With God's help, we can. And we have the Holy Spirit, too, to help us.
And so as we look at that, go ahead, Ms. Marla, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I can't trust myself fully, but if I continue to pray and ask the Lord to help me, I can overcome by his glory and power, but not on my own.
Yes.
I need
and
to
that's
trust
the difference.
God.
That's the difference between us today and Peter then, right?
Amen. Yes.
We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. I love that, Miss Margaret, to lead, guide, direct us, and tell us how to behave. But guess what? He won't make us do it. He just tells us what we need to be doing and reminding us, that's not the right way to go. He's not going to beat us up. That's free will. So just like Peter, we get to choose. And Paul, so here we are when we get to John, Revelation, and we're looking at this church in Thyatira. And today we're bombarded by all these messages from advertisers, from social media, people who just want us to buy into their agenda. You know we're affected by all these messages, but like the people of that day, how do you discern what's real and what's Memorex, what's true and what's false? Now, how we do it today is different from what they had available then. But what's your response? How do you determine what's right, what's the truth, and what's not? Go ahead, Ms. Laura.
We have the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, when Jesus left, he said he wasn't going to leave us comfortless. He was in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, for us today that we won't err. And he's there there to remind us to call on, but don't be – he let us know not to lean on to our own understanding. Let us not be have the righteousness of the Pharisees and think that we can do this, pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. But he let us know that he left a comfort for us to guide, and we got to listen to that. And then we have to ask God to teach us to die daily. Help us. Teach us to decrease, and he increase. We can't do this by ourselves. Yeah, Peter was caught up that he was going to do this, but then when it came, he wasn't able to do it because at the time he didn't have the comfort with him to remind him. He had Jesus there, but Jesus let him know that he had to leave so he can send the comfort to us. And see, now that the comfort here is here to remind us who we have, and he's there for us. And then let us know that he speaks before us now. We're going to get out. If we listen to the Spirit, we won't be so quick to err. But then if we don't listen to it, we will err.
Praise God.
So they had kind of a situation. Here's this city, and all these cities, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, all these Ephesus, these big, large cities that they are famous and they're beautiful, and you know, and some of them would say that they're rich based upon the stuff that's in the cities, and
yes.
and the fact that these are trade areas that are prominent. I think Ms. Margaret talked about that before, about their trade capabilities and how that was prominent in their lives, of being able to have the wool, the linen, the dyed material, the leather work and the bronze work, all this wealth that's going in and out of this city. And Jesus' review of them is sort of mixed. It ain't all good. While he commends them for their service, right? But
yes.
What I'm looking for, the actual verse, while he commends them, he then...
But I have this against you, verse 20.
Yes.
That you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols.
So he is trying to get clarity. He's trying to get the clarity. He's saying, y'all did some good works. But he's confronting them by dealing with the false teachers, Jezebel, telling them
yeah.
that, you know, it's not good to mix. It's not good when you know that that's a part of Satan's whole. Don't hang there, because he says, I'll strike her children dead.
Yeah.
Don't do it. And he said clearly, to him who overcomes and does my will to the end. Y'all, it seems like it wasn't easy. That's all I'm saying. It seems like it was a struggle and a fight the whole way. But he's saying, if you hold on, I'll give my authority over to the nations and they will rule with the iron scepter. Just as he received authority from the Father, he would also give them the morning star.
Amen.
He would give them the morning star. And, you know, some people say that the morning star is that connection to Christ himself. When you look in in that scripture, the believers then would receive Christ as their very life. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation could have been that it referred to the resurrection, in the sense that the morning star rises over the darkness of the world's persecution and has victory over. But either way, Christ is still victorious, and so are we as the morning star. You know, because that's where Jesus calls himself the bride and morning star. If we, you know, many of us, you know, who use that in the churches a lot, that's where that comes
yes.
from, that Jesus is the bride and morning star. Because I know in my tradition, we used to say that a lot.
We still saying that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So here it is. We see these two commendations, but the question is, how do we know what's right and wrong today? How do we make those decisions now? I think this... Laura gave us a big understanding that it has to do with having the Holy Spirit ruling inside of us, right?
Yes.
And that that Comforter is dwelling in us, is living with us. So the moment that you accept Christ as your personal Savior, the Lord guarantees that what happens, that he comes and resides in you. And what I really like this, he says, I know your deeds, your love, and your faith, your service, and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. So they did some good stuff. So the question for us is, what does Jesus commend us to do today? What is he asking us to do as we deal with our walk, specifically as we're on our way to Resurrection Sunday? What false teachings do we have in the world today that we need to get rid of and discard? Where do we need to look to see that there might be syncretism, a blending of the faith, and not just where people are watering the faith down and not standing on it? Do we see that in the world today?
Yes, we do. And it's like the secular world has that phrase that there are many, many paths and all are true, that there are many ways to reach God or to become godly, even gods ourselves. Or there are other people who are gods, idols for us. But here in this passage, it seems that we have the foretelling that Jezebel and her children will be thrown into great tribulation, and her children will be killed.
What verse are you on now?
Oh, that is verse 23. I will throw her, 22 actually.
I will strike her children dead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And those who commit
adultery. I will kill her children with death. And you know what that word means? Sometimes that word is a Hebrew word that means pestilence.
Oh.
That her children born of sexual sins,
mm-hmm.
right, are going to be struck. And it's interesting. That's why he constantly says that they follow Jezebel and refuse to repent. But that Jezebel's name is always going to mean evil, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every time I hear it, it always has a negative connotation.
It's not a name that you hear people getting from birth, but often they're called that name by others.
You know what? I don't know anybody who named their child Jezebel.
I know.
I don't think so.
But what was interesting here is Christ's strongest threat to the offenders. He's not really focusing on their sin as much as he's focusing on their reluctance to repent.
Yes.
See, the Lord is walking among the churches. He's judging the evil. But he's also offering deliverance. Come on, y'all. You know the Lord's going to always give us an opportunity. But we are so dadgum hard-headed, folks are, that they won't repent and stop doing the deeds. Y'all know any people like that today? Well.
Yes.
Yes, we
and
do.
And there was one that even openly admit that he didn't need no repentance. He hadn't done anything wrong.
Yes. So we have to see that the behavior continues, which is why we're in the situation we are in, which is why when we go through Revelation, we understand that God is preparing the world for the coming of the Antichrist.
Yes, he is.
Because we have already hardened our hearts and refused to do what?
Repent.
We refuse to. Well, we are. We have places like Thyatira. All the churches know that I am he says, who searches hearts and minds.
Amen.
That's why he wanted them to hear this letter. That's why he wanted them to know. that he searches the hearts. And you know, actually, that word heart in Hebrew, this is weird, y'all. It means kidneys. But in Semitism, the kidney was the moral center of life. While mind is literally heart, which kind of represents the totality of the feelings, the thoughts, the desires, which goes back to our deepest inner life. So here we are, understanding there's nothing in our thoughts or desires that's hidden from whom? Christ. Remember we talked about his penetrating gaze? He's like the Terminator with those blazing eyes. Our only safety from judgment is one thing, and that's repentance.
Yes.
See, the risen Lord does not stop with searching hearts and minds, but brings recompense according to deeds. And that's, y'all, deeds of faithfulness.
Judgment.
Deeds of reward. Deeds for unfaithfulness and judgment. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So we have learned something about them tonight. We have learned that this church, as we've looked at the other churches, he's saying, y'all need to repent. Everybody falls short. But when you choose to live in your sin, when you choose to repeat it over and over and over and be okay with it. Hello, somebody. I know that's a word for somebody.
Amen.
Amen.
So as we go through the book of Revelation, as we have learned, this is like the, is this our fourth church, Miss Margaret? Which church? Is this the fourth church?
We had Ephesus. Smyrna, Pergama, and Thyatira is our fourth.
And Thyatira. Yes. So we're on the fourth church now. And this is a long letter. And the next church that we're going to be looking at is the Church of Sardis, right?
Yes.
So we're going to close, Laura or Miss Margaret, if you would read Revelations 3, 1 through 6.
Okay. Revelations 3, 1 through 6. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments. And they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
That's going to be deep. It's going to be deep. That's going to be deep. That's the Tuesday before Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday that we're going to deal with that. But let me ask you a question. Max Lucado asked these questions. He says in his inspiration section, he says, desire some glory days in your life. Engage with the Bible.
Yes.
Meditate on it day and night. Think and rethink about God's word. Let it be your guide. Make it your go-to book for questions. Let it be the ultimate authority in your life. Don't chart your course according to the opinions of people or suggestions of culture. If you do, you will make the mistake that one farmer's son made. And the story is, the father sent the son to prepare a field, and he reminded the young man to till straight lines. He says, select an object on the far side of the field and plow straight at it. Later, when the father checked on the boy's progress, there wasn't a straight furrow to be found. Every row was uneven and wavy. I thought I told you to select an object and plow toward it, the dad said. I did, the boy answered, but the rabbit kept hopping.
Yeah.
He told him to select an object.
Yeah.
So when, I thought that was cute. Look, the young man did
yes,
the best he
could,
right?
Yes, I could identify with that. Yeah.
But it was saying the straight line, like a good life, requires an unmoving target.
Yeah.
Set your sights on the unchanging principles of God. And then let God's word be the authoritative word in your world. Now, y'all know that this kind of discussion and talk, that goes against our culture today. But we have to choose. We have to allow God's word to be our authority source. Other people put their authority in a voting booth, in the polls, whatever feels good. But that kind of resistance is not new with us. When Paul wrote to Timothy, you remember, the apostle,
yes,
was, he was telling the young Timothy, he says, in dealing with the selfishness in the culture, he said, he listed 19 characteristics of people in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. And each of them, there was the fruit of rebellion. So the way to deal with this self-absorption is to turn to God's word. And then when we find it, we have to put save on those important things to us. I don't know about y'all, but I highlight in my Bible. And when it's my study Bible now. I highlight in my Bible and I go back and those are truths that are important to me, that are deliberately and consciously working in my spirit. And when we've heard and read over and over and verbalized it, it becomes a part of who we are. Because Jesus said, you will know the truth, right? And he said,
yeah,
the truth will do what? The truth will set you free. So as we know the truth, the truth makes us free from guilt. It makes us free from fear. It makes us free from anger. And this saved truth has this shaping, reconfiguring impact on the heart. And that's what I was trying to say when I started off talking to y'all about Peter.
Yes.
I don't think that Jesus was wanting Peter to say, Lord, I ain't going to never make that mistake of being bodacious and saying what I'm going to do again. I ain't going to never make that mistake. Lord, I promise to, he's not looking for us to make some vow of we're going to be perfect. He wasn't looking to Peter to tell him, huh? He wasn't looking for Peter to make this commitment so that he would never, ever make a mistake again or, you know, that wasn't what he was looking for, y'all. Let me tell you what he was looking for. He was looking for Peter to have a transformed heart. Because if you can get a transformed heart, everything else will follow.
Amen. Yes.
Everything else God wants us to do will be there. If we can but just transform and choose to allow our hearts to be changed, that's what the Lord wants. That's what the God that we love seeks, a transformed heart. And I think that's what Max was trying to tell us tonight, is that the truth makes us free from guilt, free, and anger. But save truth. It has that way of shaping and reconfiguring, transforming, hallelujah, our hearts.
Yes.
Only when we can allow the truth of the scripture to be the authority source in our lives can we know that it works.
Amen.
Hallelujah and amen.
Yes.
Ms. Market, would you extend the call, the invitation tonight?
Yes, gladly. Dear folks listening, this evening we just want to extend this call out to you. We want you to know that we are all sinners, including you, of course. We cannot save ourselves. As we learned in our Bible study this evening, we've been given a promise in the Holy Scriptures of Revelation that if we turn to the Lord and we hold fast to a relationship with Him, we can anticipate eternal life. So would you pray with me now? Would you open up your heart and pray, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. But I know that Christ died for me when I was yet a sinner. And if I believe and trust and call him my Lord with my mouth and give my life to him, I will have eternal life with Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven and will not see the tribulation, would not die." Please, if you will pray this prayer with me, the angels will rejoice in heaven and great, great things await you in your new life as you become born again through the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. For those of you who have heard that cry, that petition, we ask that you would join a biblical Bible-centered church. And as you join, that you would get involved, accept that the baptism, get baptized in the church, and continue to join us here at Love Connection as we do Bible study. We ask that you, if you accepted that and that invitation tonight, we are celebrating with you, as are the angels in heaven, because you are part of the family of God. And we look forward to you joining us here every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. God's blessings be with you as we go forward. And we ask that you share, wherever you go, the truths of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I wanted to ask one more thing before you leave. As we are here next week, Miss Laura, will you be, if you think you can be here next week, if you would help us read, we're going to be on those scriptures that we shared. And
I
if there's anybody,
listening.
Okay.
I have impaired vision and stuff.
That's fine.
Okay.
You just keep on coming back and sharing the good word with us that you always do.
Amen.
That's fine. So if you all will come and bring friends and family so that we can grow in our discussion, bring questions to the table so we can further ask and grow. We thank God for the opportunity, and we look forward to seeing you next week here on Love Connection.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Good evening.
Thank you for joining us.